This is a podcast recorded at CB Expo, Cannabis Business Expo and Conference, on September 16, 2023 in Dortmund, Germany. At the Deep Dive stage, Lex Pelger presented the following topic: cannabinoids and terpenes, a plethora of potential products to produce. Language, English. Enjoy your podcast listening.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming. So I am Lex Pelger. My background is biochemistry, and now I do a lot of education teaching doctors and patients about using the cannabinoids. And actually, one thing that keeps me sharp and might be helpful to you is I have a newsletter, Cannabinoids and the People, and it comes out every week on Substack, and I collect all the new cannabinoid science. So it's usually everything. So PubMed and Google Scholar. So it's usually 50 to 100 new pieces of science every week. And so that's often just a helpful thing. So that's free for anybody who wants to use it. I also do canna education for CV Sciences, who is the biggest CBD manufacturer in the U.S., and that's really helpful because it's on TikTok, and it's I used to be a journalist who was on the road a lot and getting feedback from people, and now TikTok is an amazing way to learn about things like cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome and what's actually happening for people. So the thing I was going to focus on today is the minor cannabinoids and the terpenes and how these can be used by manufacturers. What Ben told me to focus on was vape manufacturers, actually. But I'm not sure. Is anyone here into making vapes? Okay, good. So we have some people. But hopefully this will help other manufacturers of medical products as well. That's what's close to my heart, is good ways to get this, especially into elderly folks. And so these are the ones that I'll go over today, just a couple of minor cannabinoids and how they actually feel and how you can mix them up and the terpenes that will go with them. And also, I have, feel free, I'll email this to anybody who wants it, or feel free to find me afterwards, give me your card or take mine, and I'll send this to you. So the thing about cannabis vaping is, the cool part is it helps solve the biggest problem in cannabis, which is reproducibility. You know, ever since the 1860s and the birth of the golden age of medical cannabis, it's been really hard to get the plant to do the same thing. And except outside of some medicinal manufacturers, it's still not being done that well. And it's not supposed to be the goal. It's supposed to be a plant. But the power of vaping is you can be producing something that's reproducible for your customers all the time, and they know that what you make is good and that they know what they're getting. But it's hard because there's over 150 cannabinoids at least that have been identified, and so the plant usually has at least, you know, 10 or so of those in there at a detectable level that are changing each other. The thing that makes it hard is all of these work on different receptors, and sometimes they interfere with each other. And so what the plant does in one person, it makes sense that it is such an... you can never predict what cannabis is going to do, and that's what kind of makes it special as well. Most drugs, you have a general path of what they're going to do you, whether it be psychedelics or opioids or pharmaceuticals. But with cannabis, it's such an unpredictable plant. And the nice part about harnessing vaping is that you can make it more predictable, especially for specific usages for sleep or pain or things like that. But then you also have the terpenes, and they alter how the cannabinoids flow and bind in the system as well. And you could say this is where the flavor of cannabis comes from. I assume most people here probably know that the indica sativa binary doesn't really mean anything anymore. We probably have 5 to 7 major genetic focal points that the plant goes around depending on who you talk to. It really seems to be the terpenes that make the flavor of what you're doing, and maybe the flavor of the psychoactive experience as well. But that's not all that's in there. You also have the flavonoids, the phenolic amides, the amino acids, and the fatty acids, which are what the plant actually makes the cannabinoids from. And so this is what makes it so hard to reproduce the cannabis plant. And so if people want to do vaping, make vaping products, it's going to be hard to reproduce this, and it's going to be about mixing and matching to find what's going to work. And just make sure we're all on the same page with the background of the science of it, since that'll matter a little bit during this talk. You know, the endocannabinoid system discovered in the late 80s and early 90s. So the CB1 receptors are on all the top areas of the brain, but not the lower levels that are involved with respiration and things like that. And because not only do people have different types of CB1 receptors, we have different genetic variants. And so that's why some people tend to have a very paranoid reaction to cannabis, is because of the specific type of cannabinoid receptor that you have. As well, your CB1 receptors are at different concentrations in everybody's brain as well, which is why some people might have more of the memory loss issue and other people might have more of the motor control loss issue, as well as the different psychoactive experiences. Then you have the CB2 receptors, which are located at low levels in the brain as a neuroprotective, it seems like, but are on every organ of the body and are intimately tied up with the immune system. And so these are the basis of what we know about the endocannabinoid system. There's 4 or 5 more receptors involved. There's about 6 endocannabinoids involved as well, but we'll just stick to these receptors today. And so I'm going to cover these minor cannabinoids and the science on them. The unfortunate part is there isn't a ton of science on any of these minor cannabinoids. Most of them don't have more than 100 studies total, and those are either chemical or preclinical studies. There's very little clinical research on this, unfortunately. But I have it all. I have very deep archives because of that newsletter that I do, and because that's what my company does. And so this is the biggest project I've done for my biggest client, CV Sciences, and this is where I have all of those cannabinoid studies collected. So if you want to see the science of what's known on the minor cannabinoids, you can go to the cannabinoid study at cvresearch.info. But if you want the complete, I don't have quite everything up there because not everything is of interest to the general public. So if you want my complete archives on anything related to the medical use or the phytocannabinoids or endocannabinoids, feel free to reach out. I share it to everybody who comes along because it's just good information to have out there. But this is the biggest science archive that I have publicly available right now. So let's start with the easy one, because CBD, of course, we hear about it all the time, but in medical products and in recreational products, it's really important to get a little bit of CBD in there, if you can. Dr. Raphael Mechoulam, the father of the endocannabinoid system, he said that he wished that all plants, both for recreational medical purposes, had at least 1% CBD in them to help balance out the THC effect. Because not only is CBD anxiolytic itself, it lowers anxiety, what CBD does is, at the CB1 receptor that causes the psychoactive effect, CBD is a negative allosteric modulator. And so technically what that means is if THC binds up here to the top of the receptor in a normal way, the allosteric pocket is a little thing over here that will slightly change the shape of the receptor. That's where CBD binds. And so because it's a negative modulator, the presence of CBD means THC isn't going to bind there quite as well. And so what that does is it protects people from getting way, way too high. You hear that about that a lot in California with grandmas accidentally getting edibles or maybe taking dabs for the first time with their grandkids and getting way, way too up there. And a little bit of CBD in the products can help with that. And actually, a quick note, if you know anyone who is having way too hard a trip, if you can give them a dab of straight CBD or any way to get a bunch of CBD in their system really quick, the paramedics of California call that the ripcord effect. That's the way to stop a really strong THC paranoid episode. And so if you are making vapes or medical products, getting a little bit of CBD in there is really important. And actually, here is a great chart from the Prof of Pot about all the places that CBD binds. And this is part of the reason it's so hard to know how the plant is doing its good effects, because, you know, THC and CBD, they're not just binding at the cannabinoid receptors. They're binding at serotonin receptors, opioid receptors, GABA and glutamate, which aren't the sexiest ones, but they're some of the most important. GABA is your main inhibitory neurotransmitter, and glutamate is your primary excitatory. So it's a little bit like CBD and THC are the dehumidifier and humidifier in the room, and you just put them in there and let them fight it out for balance. And so I think we have charts like this for THC and CBD. We don't have charts like this for most of the other cannabinoids. We know a little bit about what they're binding. So what we have better is people's experiences of what is actually working for them. And so This is, I think, arguably the hottest cannabinoid out there right now. This is the one, at least in the States, where I pay attention the most. I live here in France now, but I grew up in the States, and that's where most of my network is. CBG is what everybody is talking about. CBG, because it is an activator, it is the energizing cannabinoid. Also, if you're interested in how the plant works, this is also known as the mother cannabinoid. This is the first cannabinoid produced by the plant, and then all the other cannabinoids flow from this one. But in terms of experience, it can be so activating that you actually have to be careful with it. It can, with people with heart conditions or things going on with their heart, CBG can activate them to the point that it is unpleasant. THC can do that too. Some people really have a negative heart stuff when they consume THC, but that seems to be more prevalent with CBG. So a lot of people like cannabis because it gives them energy. If you wanted to put this one into your product, you would find it helpful, but you do have to know about that, the energizing side. And this one does bind to the CB1 receptor slightly. So it seems like this would be causing some kind of psychoactive effect for people. It also binds slightly to the CB2 receptor, which is in some ways the most medicinal of the two cannabinoid receptors. It also binds to the serotonin receptors, which is probably part of the reason it gives a happiness effect, and it also inhibits the breakdown of the endocannabinoids by enzymes like FA and MAGL. So you're going to have more of your endocannabinoids like anandamide. Anandamide is the first endocannabinoid neurotransmitter ever discovered, and ananda is a Sanskrit word for bliss. And so one thing CBG will do is lower the activity of the enzyme that's breaking down your bliss neurotransmitter. And so this is a good one for a general topping up of your endocannabinoid system. And then the other sexy one that you hear about all the time is CBN. And this one is known as the sleepy cannabinoid. It does bind weakly to the CB1 receptor, so there is a small psychoactive effect with this one too. As a scientist, this is one of the funniest ones too, because there's been a good bit of research on what it's done. I actually have a graphic novel series based on Moby Dick explaining the science of this, so you can see it free on my site, lexpelger.com. And my first science book is about figuring out the structure of CBN, and that was in 1940. So we've had a long time to study this cannabinoid. So we know a lot of positive effects that come out of it, but there's no research on this causing sleep. Apparently what happened is Dr. Ethan Russo, who, if you're into cannabinoid science, he's one of the big names. He came up with the idea of the endocannabinoid deficiency syndrome underlying a lot of diseases. But apparently he had a bunch of isolated cannabinoids and he was just vaping them to see what would happen. And he vaped CBN and he said it made him feel sleepy. And so he just started telling people that he worked with that that was true. And then because it was him, it just spread and it became the law of the land. And now everybody refers to this as the sleepy cannabinoid, even though there's nothing in mice and certainly nothing in humans to back that up. That being said, you hear it in the forums and in the online chatter about this stuff. And I do think if you're going to be producing products, spending time in the forums of stoners is where so much of the best data is. People will say this makes them feel sleepy. The actual effect is there, even if the science hasn't caught up and figured it out yet. So if you're going to make a sleepy product, this is a good one to have in it. And then this is THCV. The varins, the difference is right here, their tail is slightly shorter. I think 3 carbon shorter, I think, 2 or 3. And so this is just like THC, except for this shorter tail here. It also binds weakly to the CB1 receptor, so there'll be somewhat of a psychoactive effect from this one as well. But this is a very, very medicinal one. I was on the wrong slide here. This is the one that blocks CB1 somewhat and then binds to CB2 really strongly. These computers aren't matched up. That's why it screws me up. So this one will, because it's binding the CB2 receptor, people seem to find a lot of health benefits from this one. And so in terms, those other two are very sexy and people are talking about them all the time. Some people are talking about THCV because it is in the Durban strains of cannabis from South Africa. people really like the Durban strains because they are energetic and euphoric and uplifting. This is the wake you up cannabinoid. And so THCV is, I think, one that people are going to be requesting more and more. And this is one that if you get it into products, it will really change how it feels to people. And so, this is my personal favorite. I think this one really connects with people. And so that is the cannabinoids I wanted to mention, because those are the bigger ones that are being talked about and used out there. But to move on to the terpenes. For dealing with the terpenes, the hard part is the plant has so many of them. You know, most plants use terpenes. They're one of the basic chemical messengers of the natural world. There's been, I believe, 65,000 terpenes that have been identified, which is a wild number. Cannabis is special because it has an especially wide array of terpenes. It has a really great palate, and that's why cannabis has such a rich, flavorful palate in all of these different cultivars that we have. And so it also means it's very hard to reproduce a plant. And so the terpenes will be changing the effects on people because they affect how the cannabinoids get into your system, but they also have their own actions on their own. And I think the best example of that is beta-carophyllene, because this is the only terpene that is also a cannabinoid. This binds to the CB2 receptor, and it is found in a lot of other plants, as you can see. And it's also found in, it's one of the most commonly found terpenes in cannabis, which is a sign that it's something that people respond to. Because all the cannabis that we have has been shaped by 10,000-ish years of human selection. And so if beta-carophyllene is in all of these plants, there's our clue of that we should be considering putting in our products. By the way, the cool part is, you can, all of these chemovars you can find online. There's all these databases about these famous cannabis strains, what cannabinoids tend to be in them at what levels, and what, and more important perhaps, what terpenes tend to be in them. And you can recreate those classics, and they're classics for a reason, things like Blue Dream and stuff like that. And so for beta-carophyllene specifically, because it binds the CB2 receptor, it tends to have good pain effects and stress relief effects. This definitely is more of an anti-anxiety one, and it seems to have somewhat of a euphoric effect, though it doesn't bind to the CB1 receptor, so it must be something else that's doing to cause those euphoric effects. And so the next one is, just like CBN was your sleepy cannabinoid, myrcene is your sleepy terpene. And often when people talk about indica-type cultivars, this is what they mean. Those tend to be in, myrcene tends to be in those indica types and to cause drowsiness. According to some mouse studies, this is the strongest sedative of any of the terpenes that they tested. One thing we know from the old Arab doctors of the golden age of Islam was that that's where you get that trick of using mango to enhance the effects of your cannabis. You know, it's an old stoner trick. It's actually in writings from 700 years ago in the Arab text, and it probably is because it is this myrcene from in the mangoes that's altering how you're getting high. So I don't think anyone's done the research to actually figure out how that happens, but somehow the myrcene is changing the color of your cannabinoid effects. It also does interact with your opioid system and your adrenaline system, as well as your vanilloid system, which is it's the TRPV channels. He's going a little bit too far in the biochemical weeds, but it is actually important to know about the vanilloids because they mediate unpleasant sensations, such as spiciness from capsaicin, the very spicy thing. It's the TRPV channels that cause that. The TRPV, the vanilloids are very much tied up with the endocannabinoid system. You have great researchers like Vincenzo DiMarzo who says that anandamide, the endocannabinoid, should also be classified as an endovanilloid. And so a lot of what cannabis is doing is also by this vanilloid system. And so it's well studied on its own, this vanilloid system, but people have not looked at it as much in the context of the cannabinoids. And so that might be one more place where myrcene is causing its effects. And okay, cool. And yeah, we'll have a little bit of time for questions at the end, but feel free to shout them out. I only have two more left, so that's good timing. This one's a famous one. You probably hear about it a lot. change, no there, not there. Linalool. This is from lavender. This is the calming terpene. This is a great one to have in any product that you want to have an anti-anxiety effect with. To me, this terpene really... is a great example of what terpenes can do. You just put your face in lavender and, you know, a few 10,000 of these molecules hit your nose and it profoundly changes your brain state. And that is a fantastic thing, I think, that is possible. So these are very good at just calming things down. And there's a reason that so many cannabis plants smell like lavender is because this terpene has been selected for by all of these centuries of human selection. And so, for our last one, that might not be quite as well known, this is 1-8-cineol, which is the thought-provoking one. It actually comes from eucalyptus, so it's also called eucalyptol. But this one is very stimulating and thought-provoking, and comes from the herb of remembrance, is one way that it's known. And so, this is a terpene that you don't see talked about all the time, maybe just because the name isn't sexy enough for it to be everywhere. But this is in a lot of plants, and when it is, you get to see that thought-provoking happiness that people like to talk about from a really good, heady, pleasant cannabis experience. And so that is just the last terpene I want to mention because it is such a delightful one. But overall, this is what we're dealing with. You know, this is what we're trying to recreate with vaping products, or to capture with our, if we're making medical products directly from the plant. And for anyone who came in, feel free to reach out about getting this slideshow or come up to me afterwards, or my science archives. And so, yeah, stop there right on the button. So, yeah, thanks so much for listening. I'm Lex Pelgrim. My newsletter is Cannabinoids and the People. So if you want to stay on top of the science, that's where I do that. And if you're into Moby Dick and cannabis graphic novels, please come see me.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can find more podcasts on our channel, and we look forward to welcoming you to one of our upcoming events. All dates are available at cb-net.com.